Yello, 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 yello. Welcome to the Late Luna Chronicles. I am your host, Isaias Luna Valladares. And I want to thank you for tuning in again to another special episode of the Chronicles. I've been busy the last few weeks for, my family situation and finals coming up, especially with all the midterms that really got everybody jumbled around. And then people are starting to get sick because it's winter. Winter has finally bloomed in on Houston, although that's kind of a overkill considering that some days are really cold and some days are really hot, so Houston can't make up its mind about what weather it wants. But that isn't going to stop me from doing this show and giving you, my viewers, the entertainment you deserve. All right, let's get this show on the road. Let us start off with one topic, the Scooby-Doo movie, the animated film that was revealed, I think, this week on YouTube. I think that this new trailer that came out for it is kind of sort of harkening back to the old Scooby-Doo days, especially on Cartoon Network and Boomerang, because that was where a lot of us grew up on, those channels for entertainment as kids. And having this movie come out, it's kind of like a cash grab. But then again, Scooby-Doo has always been an icon for Warner Brothers. You know, Warner Brothers has always had Scooby-Doo become its, like, mainstay icons, like, throughout its entire run as a studio. And, you know, we had a plethora of TV shows and movies before, but we never had a real cinematic release for it. Not since the old live-action Scooby-Doo movies back in the 2000s. The ones with Freddie Prinze Jr. and a whole bunch of Hollywood actors that really did a good try on it, but it kind of had mixed reviews about whether or not it stayed true to the whole mystery value of what was Scooby-Doo. I think this movie is going to capture a lot of the childhood feelings of us and give us sort of an origin story to figure out where Shaggy and Scooby met and how their relationship developed as best pals. And it definitely is trending on not only Twitter, but Instagram and on YouTube. So That's a hallmark that we need to watch out for, because it's going to come, I think, in the holidays? Yes, in the holidays. And we're probably not going to see it, I think, all at once. I think most people are going to stay back and try to at least assess what we're getting from Warner Brothers for this project of theirs, because it seems like everybody is continuing to, I think, rebrand original series and try to give them a new modern twist. And I think one studio in particular is trying to do this like really hard, and that is Sony. Just this week, Sony released the new Sonic the Hedgehog trailer, and we saw the complete redesign of Sonic the Hedgehog from the Sega Nintendo video game era, and we see that he actually looks like how he did in the video games and in the old anime. This Sonic is a lot more closer than the original Sony version, like, almost 8 months ago. Like, that Sonic was just a complete nightmare. Like, the whole redesign was lazy, and everybody was banding together on Twitter and making fun of it, and basically forcing Sony to redesign Sonic so that he wouldn't look like this the CGI monster that was just trying to wear the skin of a beloved video game character. And I think that's the problem with a lot of video game movie adaptations. I mean, have you guys ever seen Hitman? Yes, the Hitman movies are kind of sparse, but they're not talked about. But those Hitman movies are based around a video game series is very well liked in the gaming community, and it's very popular. It's a mainstay. It's an icon, to say the least. And when a lot of studios, particularly Fox and Warner Brothers, And I think Lionsgate also, yes. When they tried picking up the Hitman series and taking it into live action, there was problems with that. I mean, the first movie had the Hitman being basically just this James Bond-esque character, and that really wasn't what the character of the Hitman was about. That just wasn't his character at all. And then the second retry, back in, I think it was 2016, 2017? Yeah, somewhere around that time, that movie. That Hitman, it was a completely different actor. It wasn't Timothy Oliphant. It was a different guy. I completely forgot his name, but yeah, that one was with Lionsgate, I think. And that movie, it was a lot more closer to the video game persona. But at the same time, it just got a little bit too weird. Like, they used too much CGI in that one, and they had to basically twist his story up so that he could be this, like, dark hero. And that's sort of not at all what Hitman is. Like, in the video games, Hitman is this guy who makes morally questionable decisions because he's a contract killer who works for the CIA and NATO. And he also works for other organizations, and he's never black and white. This guy lives in a gray world, and these movies, they're trying to put him like he's this guy who's black and white, and that's just not who he is. And Sonic the Hedgehog has fallen into that. I mean, the only successful video game movie is probably Pikachu, the whole Detective Pikachu movie that came out back then in the holidays. And yeah, that movie was really, really good. It was riding on the high of the Pokemon trend that came about in the last couple of years, where everybody's just going on Pokemon Go or just buying battle cards or watching the million-dollar animated movies or the TV shows, and everybody's just reconnecting with their childhood that way. And Sonic, I think, is something that's too far away for some people to go back into, but it's not something that they want to forget about. I mean, people want to see what Sonic the Hedgehog is in live action. And Sony kind of messed that up with a bumpy start with that first trailer and the design of him. Then they came out just recently, like I said, this week, with his new design, and everybody's more hopeful now. He looks a lot more like his video game character. And hopefully that stays the same, that they keep the whole Sonic persona and atmosphere embedded in the movie. Because when you're trying to adapt video games, it's kind of like you're adapting novels. And this is the same problem that Twilight and the Harry Potter series had, right? And even Hunger Games. And even, I really don't like this movie at all, the Divergent series. I don't like the Divergent series. That series was basically just a copy of Hunger Games. I like Maze Runner better. Maze Runner was actually a different version that was completely its own thing that didn't follow strictly like copy and paste like Divergent did. Divergent is just basically copying and pasting Hunger Games. Maze Runner is just completely revamping the whole environment and characters and setting and giving it a new twist. And the problem with all these adaptations of novels, along with all these video game adaptations, is that every once in a while, you get a few rare gems. Hunger Games was a good series, albeit it had its ups and downs, and people died on that. Seymour Hoffman is a pretty good guy. May he rest in peace. Drug overdose, but he was a brilliant actor, and I think he went out strong in that series. And then we have Maze Runner. Maze Runner got delayed because of the main actor becoming injured on set, and that was back in like 2014. And then the movie came out like 2018. So I mean, that's like a almost 4-year gap period between the Maze Runner 2 and The Maze Runner 3. And that series was pretty good throughout it. Like, that was one of the top tier series. Harry Potter had problems, had a number of problems with JK, with JJR, with JR. I forget what her name is. She wants to basically copy J.R. Tolkien's whole shtick with his name. And then George R. Martin wanted to copy Tolkien as well. And Rowling's is just... she went on that high as well. So not only did Harry Potter have problems with the offer, trying to twist things around for the modern uptake, but he also had Disney trying to meddle with stuff as well. And then we had the actors having their own problems in there. And albeit the Harry Potter movies are pretty good, but I mean, there has been bumps in that whole process of adapting the books and changing things around. Like Hermione was supposed to be black, and they made Hermione a ginger head. And Emma Watson, for a number of years, she wants to basically say that she wants to distance herself from the Harry Potter movies. Like, that's a bit of a spoiled attitude, you know? And we got Jennifer Lawrence, who doesn't go and say that she wants to distance herself from the movies. You know, she wants to say that she wants to build upon what the movies helped her do. Emma Watson, she just wants to act up. Emma Watson has had problems in her career as well. You know, when she was in Beauty and the Beast, she had problems with the whole direction of the movie, and then she just kept on having that same persona throughout the recent years. And she just, like, she suddenly just this whole changed person than who we knew her during the last movie of Harry Potter, during the Deathly Hallow movies. And that's a plethora of problems resolving around video game adaptations. But Sonic the Hedgehog, I mean, let's hope that its adaptation is good. Let's hope that the second trailer is a promise on Sony's part that they're going to do better and not make lazy decisions and actually stay true to the character. And, you know, they're going to have to come up quick, because they're going to have to go head-to-head with Disney. I mean, Disney is about to unveil its whole plethora of movies and TV series that are coming up on Disney Plus. We got Marvel on there, we got Star Wars on there, and we have new Disney shows like High School Musical series and the new Lizzie McGuire series and a couple of other series that sort of, like I said, rebranding old series to give them a modern twist. But Disney is pumping up the brakes in terms of their new films that they're going to release in theaters. We got Frozen 2, and we have Pixar's new film that just released a trailer this week, Souls. Souls is a very interesting movie. It's a very interesting idea, because it's taken on this, I think, this metaphysical idea of what is a soul, and it's trying to explain it in basically a summarized, down-to-earth philosophical narrative that people can easily understand. Like, the adults can take their kids to this movie and tell them and show them, like, this is what is a soul, basically. And that's Pixar's idea as well. But, I mean, to me, that's, the Soul movie is kind of, I guess, a little bit quirky in and of itself. I mean, besides the fact that in the trailer, the first black lead we've ever had in a Disney movie since, like, my God, since, like, The Princess and the Frog, basically, yeah. Since The Princess and the Frog, the first male lead, the first black lead in a Disney movie in, like eight or nine years? I'm not even including Black Panther, because that's Marvel in and of itself. Even if Disney owns it, that's strictly Marvel. Okay? It's just having the first black lead in a Disney movie in that number of years that's not part of Marvel, having him die in your Pixar movie, like right at the start of that trailer, we see this black musician, the main character, die. Basically drops down a sewer and boom, he just goes straight to, we don't even know where he is. Heaven, purgatory, just like, we have to speculate now. And it's an interesting idea, but, you know, they're gonna have to, I think, lure us in a bit more. I mean, if people want to be picky about, I guess, like, watching a movie solely off the trailer's images or solely based on what the, like, what the studio was willing to reveal to its viewership, then, I mean, good luck. I mean, that's on them. That's on me, and that's on everyone else. But hopefully we get to see what this new idea is later on in the holidays. And speaking of new ideas, I want to talk to you guys about something very special. Like, this recently become a trend on YouTube. Like, we've had YouTube Red and YouTube series and shows for, like, I think it's been, like, several years now. Yeah, it's like ever since 2015, 2016. Yeah. We've had all of that in YouTube, and I think there's this trend starting of independent creators financing their own projects. Like, we have Patreon, we have, I guess, Kickstarter, and we have a whole bunch of other crowdfunding sites to use. And one thing I like that I found on YouTube was this animated series called Hasbin Hotel. Hasbin Hotel has been trending on YouTube and Twitter for a while now. And a lot of people are talking about this show, saying that this is a new era, that this show starting off a new era where we're not having to go to major studios to go and do our, go and fund our projects. We get to do it ourselves. I mean, we are now at a point in time where we can fund our projects and not have to go through the process of defending our IP. And we have to hustle still, but we get to hustle on our own time, our own management. We're our own bosses. And Hasbin Hotel is, I think, a leader of example in that. The show is based around this idea of basically this girl in hell. Her name's Charlie. She's the princess of hell. She's the daughter of Satan. And she wants to open up this hotel so that she can rehabilitate sinners and basically make sure they get to heaven. And it's really cute. It's really nice. The animation quality is very spectacular. The hand movements, the gestures, and the motions of each character is very well drawn and taken care of. And even the design is so new. It's so quirky and kinky and really out there. Like, there's just, they don't stop ever using any sort of color in that show. Like, literally, you could imagine anything at all and it's gonna be in that show. But the show is based around this girl wanting to help out the denizens of hell so that they don't have to continuously go and kill each other in, like, internal conflicts in hell, or like gang wars, or like purges, or just like, you know, basically crime wave in hell. And it's really nice. It really takes on this whole idea of what is a sinner and whatnot. And it gives us a plethora of characters. We have we have Charlie's best friend, Vaggy. Again, this is a show based around demons and whatnot. So it's going to involve ideas of sexuality, gender politics, racial issues, and I guess family, I think, crises, especially in terms of mental health and just biological disease and illness. And not only that, psychological trauma. This show really explores all of that. It has a plethora of characters that come from the LGBTQ community, and the actors themselves are part of that community as well. And even got a few actors who are in the voice actor community to come over. Like, there's some notable actors from anime that are playing, I think, at least 5 characters or so. And that shows that the animation industry is taking this Hasbin Hotel show very seriously on YouTube. because it's a trend that they're seeing now, and they may start to, I guess, advertise these shows on their websites, or they may just give it a quick nod and say, we praise you for doing your own thing. But I mean, this show, back to the characters, it really is quirky. We have Maggie, who's basically the best friend, but also sort of girlfriend of Charlie. So I mean, they're a couple, they're a lesbian couple, and they're together. And then we have another character called Angel Dust. He's this sort of gangsterish porn star, homosexual, not even homosexual, bisexual. And he's just like, he's just quirky. He curses a lot. He makes a couple jokes, and he really sort of tries his best to at least reform his ways, even though he doesn't really do that. And we have a plethora of other characters like him. We have a couple of demon news anchors on there who are just basically a spoof of Fox News and CBS and MSNBC and all of that fake news media, I think, idea. And not only that, just playing on the whole idea of show business. And then we have other demons on there. We have essentially like this guy, this top level demon called the radio demon named Alistair, who's really quirky. He really is old timey, but he's got this swagger and finesse to him. And basically he helps out this whole crew of young youths try to at least realize their dream. But he's just in it just for the fun of it. He doesn't care if they fail or not. He just wants to get some fun out of it. And I think that a lot of people are going to love this show, even though it's gotten some criticism lately. Like, the first episode is out on YouTube right now. Type up Hazbin Hotel. Hazbin Hotel. And then go click on that first episode. The first episode is free, and all the episodes will be free on YouTube. And they're not charging it on any subscription site or anywhere else. They're going to put it on YouTube for everyone to see. This is a project that they funded and that they want people to have access to. And that movie and that, I think, show is very, I think, blunt. But I think I like that. I like the bluntness of it. It doesn't stay away from any tough subject. It goes full on into it. And it's obviously going to be involved with a lot of musical elements as well. In the first episode, there's essentially two musical skits in there, followed by a couple of plot points that are just regular, I think, teenage drama and young adolescence problems being thrown into the mix. But it's a show that has musical elements into it. So imagine that you're going to be hearing a lot of music in that show and basically having to sing along or just listen to it and fall in love with the quality of like the sound and the vibes that you get from it. It's really chill. Some people aren't chilling with the show though. Like, some people are really calling out on Twitter and YouTube and Instagram and even Facebook that it's a bit sexist and transphobic and homosexual and anti-LGBTQ. But that's because some of the jokes in the first episode are really sort of, I think, spoofing and making fun of, I think, like little dumb, stupid things that I think anybody can make, but the people are just focusing on that one aspect of the joke. And they're really blowing it out of proportion. And people have already put out articles saying that this show is just completely just discriminatory. Well, other people have put out articles praising the show and saying that this is a whole new idea that nobody's ever thought of before. And people are going to be jumping on this because this show is trending. And it's shown by example that we don't have to go to the major studios to get our stuff released. We can do it ourselves. Like self-publishing and self-creating and financing. And I think speaking of financing. I want to talk about that KSI Logan Paul fight. Listen here, I subscribe to the Rocka Rocka channel and some of the Sidemen, I think, channels as well. But I only look at them every once in a while. Like, I follow Danny Filippo and Michael Filippo, the brothers who are the main creators of the Rocka Rocka channel, on their Instagram and their Facebook and their Twitter. And they definitely are friends of KSI and Logan Paul and Jake Paul and all the, all those YouTube stars. And it's just really, it really is crazy that, I mean, there was $100,000, I think, bet or purse that was involved, and KSI won. And Logan Paul came out in that interview, those TV interviews and ABC News and all those news outlets, and basically said he didn't feel like he lost. But his brother Jake Paul was in the locker room crying with him. And Logan's just in there basically consoling his brother. And KSI said just now today that in the event that Justin Bieber has called out KSI and basically, I think, mocked him, and KSI is just brushing off Justin Bieber's quip about him, and KSI is basically telling Justin Bieber, if you want to fight me, get your little punk skinny white ass in the ring and fight me, and I will destroy you. He said this to ABC News. Go watch the KSI interview and go read that. It's a funny interview. You're gonna be laughing when you see KSI's reaction. This guy has been consistently boxing YouTube stars and MMA fighters that are coming up in the UFC ring. And this guy is just unstoppable. This guy grew up, he grew up in London or Australia. I think he grew up in England. Yeah, and basically he's a guy who grew up all his life as sort of this nerd anime guy, but he also liked sports and he also liked boxing, and he grew up loving all this stuff, and he became a YouTube star because of this. You know, he did comedy skits, he did video game playthroughs, he did a lot of, I think, sports podcasting, and eventually he became this whole big YouTube icon that a lot of people start following him on. And Rocka Rocka did the same thing too with their skits, which they're famous for. They got on the news because of that, like all major media outlets, like in the US, in Europe, and in Canada, and in Australia and New Zealand. And it's amazing to see that this is just blowing up as its own stuff. And I want you guys to go watch the KSI Logan Paul fight highlights and the interviews, and I want you to really analyze the situation, because it seems like this is just the start of KSI rise to puncture into Hollywood's inner circle, because he's called out Justin Bieber right now. He's called out Justin Bieber and told him that, I will destroy you in the ring if you put any boxing gloves on. I will personally beat you up in that ring. You won't last one round with me. And that's a direct challenge. And if that fight happens, I will see that fight. I will see that fight. That's a really good thing I want to happen. I want to see that fight, because it's something that I think a lot of us have been wanting to see. We wanted to see Justin Bieber put on the boxing gloves and fight someone. Alright, we wanted to see him do some world star stuff, because Justin Bieber has this persona where he acts like a gangster, but he ain't gangster. He just ain't. He's just not running with anyone. He's basically a copycat. You know, he's a poser. Justin Bieber all his life has been this little poser. Ever since 2009, 2010, this guy has just been hopping on one trend to the next and never staying true to who he is, a pop singer. And he's trying to get into rap, and he's trying to get into rock, and it's just, it's been just boring as hell with this guy. It's just been so annoying. And then Selena Gomez start on and off again, dates this guy, and she doesn't know to when to make up her own mind. And Demi Lovato going ahead and attacking Justin Bieber online. And we have all of these other people going ahead and doing that. And then we had the Justin Bieber roast on Comedy Central a few years back. And everybody's just roasting Justin Bieber on there. It's just, you get straight up burnt, okay? Charcoal, okay? There ain't nothing left on that boy after that comedy roast. But then he just kept on going. He just kept on posing and trending and doing all this sort of freaky, dumb crap. But this is, I'm sorry, I just had to drink some water right there for a second. I'm getting really parched. Ugh. No, but like, I really want to see like where this is gonna go. Like, I love seeing YouTube stars do the boxing matches because it's just the highlight reel of sort of these big internet icons just mashing together and creating this whole, I think, cultural event for everybody to get involved in if they're a YouTube creator or a social media icon or entrepreneur. And it's just something that really ties together how business and entrepreneurship and social media really coalesces together to make that money, to get that moolah. And speaking of moolah, I want to talk to you guys also about something that I think really kind of sort of bugs me at the same time. It's the, I think, the committee hearings that ICE is going into. And not only that, just today, DACA is at the Supreme Court. Yeah, DACA is at the Supreme Court. And we're going to find out what that is. So, I mean, even if you don't want to, I can just look it up on YouTube or Twitter or Instagram, or just go to Google or Bing or Firefox, whatever internet browser you have, and just at least look up some articles or videos or some reels of the cases, and you'll see that this has become a huge problem about immigration and not only that, racial profiling and discriminatory practices. I mean, just recently, this week, I've watched a whole bunch of videos about police profiling and police brutality on Facebook, man. Let me tell you, dog, this is completely just horrible. We got cops breaking the law. And we got cops who are good people who end up getting fired because they do the right thing. This one cop, he did a routine disturbance call, and this guy, this black man, had a gun waved around. He was in his vehicle. He was waving this gun around. And the white cop, basically, he's calm. He's cool. And he's trying to assess the situation. And he's like, he sees the black man pull this silver thing out of his back pocket. And the police pulls his gun out and says, drop your hands. Drop what you're doing. Put your hands behind your head. And the guy's like, okay, I'm coming out of the vehicle. He's like, don't you move. The guy keeps saying this, the white cop. And the white cop does not shoot the black man. He's simply talking through this man. He's like, okay, put the gun down, drop it. Don't do anything, sudden movements. The cop puts his gun lowered. And he tries to talk through with this guy. He tries to ask him what's happening. And this black man is just wailing. He's just crying. He's basically telling the white man, straight up, just shoot me, kill me. And the white man is just completely shocked at this. He's not pointing the gun anymore. He's lowered the gun. He's completely just looking at this black man crying and wailing. And at that moment, the officer reported that he considered the black man to be suicidal at that point. Right? There's something that's wrong. And he tries to talk to the black man, and he comes to a point where he holsters his weapon and he looks and he talks face to face with the black man. And what happens? A couple minutes later, two white cops from the same department as the police officer go in. They pull their guns out immediately as they see the black man. And the black man just takes his pistol and he starts waving it around and wailing. And the white man is just like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. All right. We're talking now. Well, and the police officer's buddies are just right over there, just shouting and yelling. And then the black man just walks towards them, and that's it. One officer shoots at the black man four times, shoots him once in the head, and the other officer shoots him two times. And the black man, the 23-year-old gentleman, is already dead. He's gone. He's dead. And the white officer who was trying to console him and talk to him and try to really figure out why he's trying to be suicidal, he couldn't do anything at that moment. He was so shocked at that moment. And this whole case got blown up huge in the news, and it got blown up on social media. And what ends up happening is that the police department ended up firing that cop who was just trying to help the black man get through this difficult time. The police department fires him for not firing his weapon, for not using appropriate force, is what they called. And when social media hears that, everybody blows it up. And the district attorneys in that state, I forget what state it was. I think it was, I can't remember, but the district attorneys, they basically go right out and they come out in interviews and say, like, the police department basically fired this guy simply because he didn't fire at the black gentleman. And we have to, and this is interesting as well. Let me tell you, this is the interesting part. The DA says that this officer was a military veteran. That's right. This guy was a military veteran who trained in this de-escalation training as a military veteran. He served in the National Guard. He served in the U.S. Army. And he served as a policeman. This guy has been trained to deal with tense situations like the one he faced. And the police department decided to fire him because he didn't use their training, which is to basically pull your guns out and shoot colored people. Okay, when they get disruptive or annoying to you. And what ended up happening was that the whole police department ended up getting sued because they fired that good gentleman. And it went to Supreme Court, and then the court case basically got settled. The white officer was given $140,000 in a settlement fee. And the DA and the Justice Department have begun investigating the police department because of that still. They closed the case and it was done there, but the white gentleman felt like it was completely over. No, the guy I was trying to help, this is what he said, the guy I was trying to help is already dead. I mean, the case is over, but that black gentleman is still dead. And I could have done something, but my colleagues decided they needed to use appropriate force, like they call it, and end him. And that's the kind of world we're living in. Do you guys know that only 16 states in the United States of America have de-escalation training for police departments? They have only 16 states doing that. And we have what? Huh? We have 40 plus states. We have 40 plus states, okay, that do not have any form of de-escalation training. And here's another funny thing. The military requires servicemen to go through de-escalation training. The U.S. military requires any volunteer or enlisted member to go through de-escalation training because it's part of their job. It's in the military. And this is completely just crazy. This is something that's way too bothersome to ignore. If the military teaches its people how to de-escalate tense situations so that there are no casualties or no crimes being committed by any soldier or any civilian or any political figure in a war zone, then why is it that law enforcement can't have the same attitude in our own country, on our own streets, in our own cities? How come law enforcement does not have this kind of training? How come the majority of America is so behind in learning to deal with complex situations? Why? And let me give you guys a free piece of advice. Whenever you are pulled over in a situation, or whenever you are detained or arrested or being followed or being questioned, here's one thing you can say to police officers and they will leave you alone. Because this will help you not be incriminated. Because when you answer police officers' questions, you will be incriminating yourself. That's why lawyers and attorneys and all these social organizations tell you, do not speak to officers. You have a right to not answer their questions at all. Here's what you need to say in that situation. I don't believe in answering questions. And keep repeating that. I don't believe in answering questions. 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 That statement is directly tied to the Fifth Amendment. And any officer who is trained in the police department has to memorize the Bill of Rights. And they have to memorize that whenever you say the statement, I don't believe in answering questions, they have to immediately leave you alone. Because you are already pleading your Fifth Amendment at that point. This is a free piece of advice, gentlemen and ladies. All right, now, look at the time. Whoa, wow. Well, I think that's it for our episode today. I hope to catch you guys on the fly later on this week. And also, I will be introducing a new element to the show I like to call role plays. And in that, I may start doing a skit or two from popular franchises where I can get some voice actors and other people on here to at least flex their skills and give you guys an entertaining story. Like, I'm gonna give you guys some free entertainment that way, and I'll keep you guys updated in the show, and I hope to see you guys next week. Signing out, buenas noches.